So this is a topic that I've never gotten into, and it's something that's been lingering in the back of my mind always. Like, you really should study this. And this is me finally going, okay, I can't ignore this any longer. This is the dichotomy between my science brain and the scientist me and the storyteller slash the goddess queen. And the contrast between these two parts of me, and it's fascinating because it's a mandatory divide. It's mandatory for the science. You cannot put frou-frou goddess queen and story and sunshine imagination adventures in the middle of science research. It completely breaks the integrity of the science research, and that brings into question. Really, it brings into question the validity of the entire research project if sunshine imagination adventures were to suddenly show up in the middle of mathematical formulas. So it is vital that these two things are separated. Now, while you're doing integration sciences, this is a problem because it's integration science. And this is where it's really gets so hard because you have this real, deep, intense science study, integration sciences, but you're integrating. But the science says you have to integrate. So I had these two extreme poles of a spectrum, science and fantasy fairy tale land. I felt like, and I do mean this, like 99% of my research, I felt like Unicorn Kitty from Lego Movie. I'm serious. I felt like Unicorn Kitty. And it was Rainbow Land with imagination adventures while I was doing science. It was wonderful. I love integration science. This was easily an apex and a high point of my world is I'll sit down and I'll get into these massively huge complex formulas and algorithms. I'm doing the heuristic algorithms. And I'm sitting there talking about quantum logic and psychological physics and all of this wonderful stuff. And in the meantime, I'm sitting here going, wouldn't it be awesome if? And I'm off on this really weird nerd tangent with my goddess self, Lady Wisdom, going, okay, so God, husband, what would you like to do today? It's a really weird existence. The entire time, my credibility was something I personally brought into question. This was hard. This, of everything I've ever had to do, this was the hardest. My credibility. My credibility in science is the be all end all backbone of, is this scientific data tangible? Is it something that we can utilize? Is it contaminant free? Meanwhile, you have to be true to yourself. And you're also doing integration sciences and you're the only scientist in the lab. So I had this. It was January of 2025 when it hit the most. That is really when I was at the apex. I couldn't do it anymore. I could not guarantee the preservation of my data. I could not. So I stepped out of the lab. And it was the first time in my life I truly walked away from the lab. And I went all out. I held nothing back. I totally threw myself into the story and everything. One of the biggest things. And I mean, it was really the colors of this entire focal point conversation, this one right here, was the most difficult, the most challenging, the hardest part, because it's integration science. So I'm running mathematical formulas that's going to integrate everything, and that includes not limiting to play, imagination, weirdness, being 5 years old, and loving straws with milk. While you're doing really advanced science. And you also want to retain credibility, retain professionalism while I'm walking around wearing hippie clothes, topless with my tattoos. And you want to be authentically true to yourself for the science. It's such a contrast. So integrating contrast. Most people's brains just broke over that one. Integrating contrast. And there was this one day, I remember it. It was a showdown. I threw it all down. I took off my gun holster and I just faced off in the desert. Me versus contrast. What is your problem? I said to the contrast. Why are you such a problem? Why do we hate contrast? Why do we hate contrast? And I remember when I was a child, and I talk about this a lot. I was like 18, and my grandmom was making a quilt for my cousin Harley. Her name is Harley. And as in named after Harley Davidson, because her parents love Harley motorcycles. And she had this silhouette of a ballet dancer holding a rifle and a shotgun. And I'm going, why? Why do you have a ballerina in toe shoes holding a shotgun? It was like some Twilight Zone version of Swan Lake. It was like, what is this? And she said to me, that's who she is. She loves to hunt and she's a ballet dancer. My brain exploded that day. What? Did I mention Twilight Zone edition of Swan Lake? And it bothered me. It bothered me that I was bothered. It didn't bother me that she was a ballet dancer and a hunter. Okay, I'm a vegetarian. That's a whole nother side topic. It did bother me, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about why it bothered me. It bothered me. And what bothered me was the contrast, was the dichotomy. And I wanted to know, why do we have such a problem with dichotomy? So here I am in the middle of this Western movie, facing off without my gun, showing down with contrast itself. What is your problem? Okay, that's what it said to me. What is your problem with me? I don't know. I don't know. It's the one thing that I haven't yet figured out is why do we have such a huge problem with contrast? It's like, oh my God, you know what that is? It's contrast. It's like the opposite of everything we're supposed to have. What is it? It's contrast. God forbid we go near it. Why? Because it's contrast. It's they can't mix, but why? Because it's contrast. What is this? And it runs our lives. It runs and governs everything we do, except my cousin Harley, which I still haven't figured out. Why are we bothered by contrast? Now, while you're doing integration sciences, this is a really important question. And it was at the end of the ethical perspective stages of growth, 144th ethic, when I found the Titan integrations. Now, the Titan integrations are really, really out there. The Titan integrations is when spirituality and faith merge with science in a I love science and logic and proofs kind of a way. Well, scientists go, yay, belief. And they run together in this long lost Miss Piggy Kermit kind of an embrace. It's weird. And then you have logic and belief that come together. And then you have polyamory and monogamy that come together. And you have all the things that come together. And contrast doesn't exist anymore. And I'm going, yes, but why? So of course I'm going to look at physics. So I'm staring at the physics because I'm convinced physics is the one hoarding this answer. Physics. So I sit down with physics and I'm like, where are you putting it? And it's got something to do with Newton. I know Newton's behind this. So I'm looking at physics, third law of Newton, third law of Newton. Something to do with third law of Newton. It's really easy because you just look at the Q factor and, oh, look at this, you know. It's when the contrast, it's like you have to get used to each other. But why? Why the contrast? And it's like our brains are hardwired to reject contrast. I'm convinced it has something to do with biology. Something to do with like millions of years ago, contrast was dangerous. So here we are now. And we still think contrast is dangerous. And it's gotten, this is what governs prejudice. This is what governs prejudice. This is why half of the population lives back against the wall in A, and why the other half of the population lives back against the wall in B. And now you've got a versus. Competition. See, I told you it was in biology. Competition. That's what it really is about, is competition. Like trauma has taken competition and like supercharged it. So now it's contrast means competition. It's really weird. This is all hypothetical because I haven't actually sat down and studied any of this yet. Because like I said, I'm still, what are you? Like, what is contrast? Why? It's like we're allergic to chirality. That's really what this is. We are allergic to chirality. Yep, that's it. That's got to be it. Not really. I got a hypothesis. Are we allergic to chirality? So I refuse to let this thing, contrast, govern my life. which of course, yeah, integration sciences, it's kind of what we do here. So what really hit me was seriousness and maturity. And this one, of all the integrations, this one really pissed me off the most because of the humans. The humans really messed this one up. Somewhere, some uneducated individual who had power or influence, not power, but influence, decided that play meant immature, which was not true. And he then started this rumor and told everyone that being playful means you're immature. He was not a smart person, but he spread this rumor all over the place. And everyone agreed with them, who also was not smart. And they too threw play away. All right, you're 8 years old. It's time to grow up. So we're all now being forced in a Wendy situation with Peter Pan of, I don't want to grow up. And now we're all being forced to throw away our play, which is all messing up our minds. It didn't happen to me. It did not happen to me. I was the 15-year-old still playing make-believes and Barbie dolls. I was 25 going, will you play with me? Yep, that was my life. And I was looking at play, immaturity, and I'm going, why does playful mean immature? Why? Who did that? Because I could punch them in the nose because that's dumb. And I'll tell you why. It's because there's a whole lot of wooden boys in the world who never grew up because they didn't go to school. And now you've got a whole lot of wooden boys walking around without strings going, I don't have any strings, so I'm real. No, you are a wooden puppet without strings. Did you read Pinocchio? Clearly not. The whole part where he had to go to school, really important. When you go to school, you become a real boy. He decided it would be easier to fight a white whale and face his own death than just go read a book in school. But okay. So, you know, teach his own. He becomes a real boy. And this is amazing because when I got to this point in my ethical studies with the integration sciences, I realized that maturity is how many ethics you know. It's literally a metric. It's a mathematical metric of how many ethics you know. And it's not just any ethics, it's the 12 ethics. So you have the 12 ethics. The more you integrate the 12 ethics into you, the more mature you get. So now I'm sitting here going, oh, with integrated mathematics and the 12 ethics, we now have the ability to mathematically track how mature you are, which means I'm allowed to play. And I'm mature because the ethics say so. It's great, fantastic, I love it. So, well, that's one of the things that came in was maturity and play integrate. And the whole concept of, oh, you got to be serious. Now I'm looking at the concept of professionalism. Oh, that's a bad word to me. Be professional. Why? Why? What's professional? Professional means, I don't know what it means. I don't. It's this thing that people throw around with suits and seriousness as if they're, I don't understand professional. I just don't. It's why? And this matters because I'm in science going, it's really important that we not contaminate the data. And if you can't contaminate the data, you don't contaminate the data. Am I allowed to play? Of course you're allowed to play. It's a science lab. I mean, come on. How can you not play with science labs? It's all we do in here. So now I'm going, I have a problem because I'm integrated. Welcome to Integration Sciences. My name is Onnit Imagination. I didn't make that up. It's my name, Onnit Imagination. And I'm going, well, now what do? I show up as Onnit Imagination wearing my uber awesome pink hippie clothes. And I'm sitting here ready to deliver this really cool talk. And I'm barefoot all the time. Like I look like I just walked off of Burning Man. All the time. And I get into this world and I get prejudice, which is something I loathe more than anything in the world, probably because I'm a scientist. And I'm now walking around with on an imagination, my uber awesome Burning Man clothes. And people immediately assume I'm a spiritualist, which is the biggest insult you can give a scientist. So I'm like, no, I'm not a spiritualist, I'm a scientist. That's really what I need to lead with from now on. Oh, my name is on an imagination. I look like I just walked off of Burning Man and I'm not a spiritualist, I'm a scientist. But then you've got this, and this is what I noticed. This is a side effect of integration sciences. The scientists don't believe you because they're prejudiced, which is anti-science. And they look at you and say, but your name is Onnit Imagination and you're dressed like a hippie. Yes, and I work in integrated sciences. It comes with a job. Meanwhile, I got spiritualists who are prejudiced and they're going, oh, you're a spiritualist too. No, I'm not. I'm a scientist. Get away from me. And then you find out that you're just an enemy of both, and everyone hates you because of contrast. We're back to that again. The spiritualist people hate you because you're a scientist. They'll tell you they love you while they hate you. And the scientists, which doesn't make any sense, are biased, which just contradicts everything the scientist stands for. And they'll assume you are a spiritualist moron because your name is Anna Imagination and you look like you just stepped out of Burning Man. And the problem with prejudice is you got to get over the prejudice to even get a word in. So that's the problem, is prejudice always beats me to the punch. So I've got it in for prejudice, because prejudice is my nemesis. Every time I show up as I am authentically, because I am in the integration sciences, which is what I have to do because it's being true to yourself, integration sciences. Now I'm sitting here looking at this thing called contrast and prejudice inside of scientists going, what the hell do you think you're doing? You are supposed to be a scientist. This one day I had my best friend, she had a close friend of the family, almost her brother. And she's like, well, he's a biologist. I could see if he'll talk to you. And I'm like, yes, please. And he took one look at my page, came back, and he called my science pseudoscience, which is like the biggest insult you can give a scientist. I'm like, excuse you, I have data with math. I measure my stuff. And his bias, his prejudice, completely shut me down and refused to talk to me. Now, if I were a scientist, no, I would want to hear what you have to say. It's show me what you have to say. You get two words in, and if the first thing out of your mouth isn't, but I have data, and it's science. I had this conversation with a neuroscientist today. I loved it. And I said, this is ABC. This is what I have. And he said to me, and I love the way he worded this. He did not use the word pseudoscience. He said, is it science philosophically, as in you've observed it, or are you talking data? That's the right question. Finally, a true scientist. I said, it's data, hardcore. I've got logic, I've got math, I've got physics, I've got biology, and sometimes I use chemistry. I can prove my work in five sciences with a priori and empirical evidence. Now we're talking. It took me 3 years to find one scientist to ask me that question. Why? I look at the educators. What the fuck have you done? Because it's their fault. It's the educator's fault. It's always their fault because they're the ones stepping up going, I'm taking responsibility. That's what you do when you're an educator. You take responsibility for what everyone knows, because it's all coming from you now. So this Anna paradox, where you have to show up as you are, be authentic, integration sciences, and now you've got a world of prejudice. So now I'm toggling. Got to protect the science, make sure the science does never, not ever get contaminated. Keep the uber awesome me self out of it. So now over in, I have two labs now. So I have the science subject number two lab, and then I've got my absolutely strict petri dish that is lab QED. And if I can't pass through my Ashavana scientific method, which is brutal, to get the data meeting the standard, it does not go in the lab. And I'm over in my Anna land being weird as science subject number two. And I know I'm taking things so far out into the galaxy where they have never been before. And when you are dealing with psychological physics and the 12 ethics combined with integration and perspective sciences, you run into a thing. And this is the thing, the subject of all that really needs to be talked about. You're sitting here running. You realize you can lay down logical sequence, which is your own story, and then you can run on it and change it and navigate it and steer it. It's really cool science. So I'm running, and then I get to this point and I stop because I'm out of track and I have to lay down more track. But here's the track. My intuition, which is mathematical intuition and logical intuition, is telling me to lay the track mathematically in compliance over here where I want it to go. Now, in psychological physics, we know that want and desire is vital to mental health, which means I have to go this way. Meanwhile, I've got this really uber awesome radar inside of me that tells me every time I say a logical fallacy, a lie, or even incorrect information, my entire body screams mathematically that is incorrect and that is a false, therefore, what is true? So I know when I say something that's incorrect because it doesn't feel right, I can feel lies. And the more I purified my entire system of all lie, the sharper, clearer that became and the more painful lie became. And I want. So I'm going, okay, I want, I've got intuitive mathematics, intuitive logic, running that way with it. And I can use my poietostat to measure every time there's a lie and or false near me. So I know what is true. And if it's true, I can always prove it with math and physics because I can do that. I do that. And I got to a point where, this is where that Bruce Campbell paradox came in, where I went, A is B, B is X, therefore A is X. And when I put all that together in my gorgeous equation, I'm God. And I immediately went, paradox. Well, that's logical. It's true. And everything checks out, except it's that statement. And my immediate thought was, we need scientists in here to analyze this data to see and determine precisely what it is I need to pass peer review. But the concept of God, and this is where it gets really interesting, is just your skill level. That's all it is your skill level. That's all it is. You have a hierarchical vector that literally tells us metrically where you are on a skill level base. And I'm going, okay, so at what point do you become God? Well, we already have that equation figured out. Once you pass three ethical perspectives and higher, you start being deemed a God. And this is not the first time. This was actually discussed in a paper in NASA at Harvard, where the astronomer mentioned this. Yeah, they were hailed the gods at this point, at this era, and these were the founders of the cosmos because they had the scientific evidence for ABC. She was researching the same stuff I was researching back in the 1920s. So I'm looking at this going, I'm not the only scientist who came up with the same conclusion. If you reach X amount in skill levels, you become a god. So God is just a skill level. Now, Pythagoras based and founded his entire philosophy called philosophy, literally philosophy, it's named by him after this, on the concept of reincarnation, past lives. And that's the stuff that my work is all, there it is. And then this is where things started to happen. And I'm looking at it going, yeah, I've got scientific credibility here. Now what am I supposed to do? So I've got that scientific credibility over here going, it has to be scientifically credible. And all at the same time, it's integration sciences. I have to absolutely be true to myself. But based off of the science that I'm looking at, reincarnation is real. Past lives is real. And I know what I remember. Now, it also is compliant over here with psychological physics and the math over here. Well, it's also being compliant over here with logic math. I spent 3 years running the math on this. And when you start to peel back the layers, you start to remember. These were the side effects from having the prosthetic subconscious mind being uploaded into my mind. Meanwhile, this contrast was happening where I'm like, stay with the science on it, stay with the science on it. And I hugged that science like it was my lifeboat. If I stick with the science, then they can't call me insane. So I did the math formula on insanity and where that line between genius and insanity is. Turns out there is no line between genius and insanity. There's just stupid people. That was really reassuring. I went, oh, so there is no line between insane and genius. There's just really dumb people. So a really dumb person will say, you know, there's a thin line between genius and insane. No, there's just you being uneducated. If you were educated, you would see very clearly the difference and that there are two completely different math formulas and they are unrelated. But because of your prejudice, you're not bothering to study which one they're actually on. You're just grouping two completely different opposites. There's that contrast again, together, and throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Why don't you figure out which math formula they're actually running on before you decide if someone is insane or not. Now, this is where it got really interesting. The insane formula is actually an inability to communicate, which means babies are insane. That was my conclusion, because that is the actual mathematical formula people use to determine insanity. Inability to communicate. Boom! All infants are insane. Logic says so. So the only difference is we're tolerant of an infant being incapable of speaking. That's the only difference. That's really sad. So I was able to, in my journey of finding the genius formula and also the insanity formula, I found the stupid formula. And I added that to the three of them, and that's done a lot. So once I was done with that whole group of research and I was able to put all that together, I realized I'm not insane. I can prove it. Very easily can I prove it. This makes a lot of sense. But then I realized something most important. The ability to even comprehend is completely dependent upon my ability to communicate all of this to you. We call that incentive, which means if I don't have the ability to articulate this in detail to you, you're just going to think I'm crazy. Now we have a problem. So I'm going, so my real challenge isn't science, isn't logical proof. It's my ability to communicate. That's all that this is. Can I communicate it clearly? Well, Einstein gave us a gorgeous thing. If you understand it well enough, then you can explain it simply. I think he actually said, if you cannot explain it well enough, then you don't know it. Wait, I got that all wrong. Let me try that one more time. He said, if you cannot explain it simply, then you do not know it well enough. So I'm using that as my metric, going, if I can't explain this simply, then I don't know it well enough, which means I got to get better. So now I'm really digging deep into all the science so I can get better, so I can explain it to you so you don't think I'm crazy. But now we have another problem. Everyone's prejudice. The scientists are prejudiced. Everyone's prejudiced. So now I'm going, great. So am I insane or are you prejudiced? It's easy. All you have to do is refuse to listen and accuse the other person of being insane and poof, they're insane. Really? We call that the dumb man formula. No effort on your part, and you can damn anyone you want. Let's run an entire society on that formula. And everyone said, yes, let's. That's when I realized it did not matter how much you knew, how well you could communicate it. If people are prejudiced, you're just insane. If you cannot get one person to listen to you, then you're just insane. So suddenly, everyone's sanity is now on the line. All you got to do is get one asshole to listen to you. But no one's listening to anyone. So now you've got people who are desperate to be heard. So they're screaming. Because all they want to do is be heard so they can prove to you I'm not insane. And you have no one listening, but you have everyone who's prejudiced. So now you have the prejudice and the insanity wars happening. And because of our beautiful educators who can't teach anyone anything, no one knows this. No one knows it. So it's getting worse. You've got more people screaming, I'm not insane. If you could just hear me, I could show you. And over here, you have a whole lot of people screaming, you're insane. It's so easy to say, too easy. That's when I started to really sit down and break it down. What is insanity? And here's the real, real kicker. The other thing that is insanity is an inability to understand. The problem is, the moment you don't have education, you don't understand, which means everyone who's uneducated is insane. Now, that is accurate. If you don't understand something, then you are insane. Like I said, the concept of insanity is really stupid. It is the worst concept in the entire world. What is insane? It is an unknown logical sequence. That is all it is, an unknown logical sequence. That's it. The thing is, when you have the abstract map that literally maps out the entirety of the abstract mind, and when you have the subconscious mind algorithm, everyone makes sense. Every single person makes clear sense. No one is insane. There's no such thing as insanity. What there is uneducation. What there is a bunch of unignorant people using the word insanity as a tool. What there is really shitty ass communication skills. There's a lot of that out there. Now, when you combine an inability to communicate, poor communication skills, even worse vocabulary, combined with the worst education in the entire world, located right here, brought to you by the United States government, everyone's now insane, including babies. Dumbest thing in the world is the concept of insanity. All it takes is a prejudiced asshole going, "You're insane." Done. Diagnosed. It all is run on self-preservation. The whole thing. So I'm over here in my world. I got my contrast. My integration sciences are telling me I have to integrate this really weird ass me with science. And at the same time, I have to preserve the data. I have to show up authentically as I am, but the data. So this is where it's never been done before, but it's integration sciences. So it's one of these beautiful things where I have no choice. It's for data. So here we are.